getting right to going. We have a whole lot to cover. Last Sunday, we talked about Palm Sunday, which of course today is Palm Sunday. So let me just re-say that real quick. Y'all know what happens on Palm Sunday. You remember last week, if you were here, this leads into the last week into the life of Jesus. He's going into Jerusalem, sends for a little donkey. They bring the donkey to him. He gets up on the donkey. And as he rides to Jerusalem, they're all praising his name, singing hosannas, laying down the palm branches, you know, talking about how powerful he is, because they thought he was coming into Jerusalem to give it back to the Jewish people. Well, he is going to do that one day, but it wasn't this time in history. And as we said, the same people who were literally cheering his name, 5 days later would be saying, crucify, crucify, crucify. We talked about Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Now today we're going to talk about Thursday evening and Friday, that we call Good Friday, coming up this week. All right, Larry, here we go. Late Thursday to Friday afternoon. All right? Thursday evening, the Last Supper. Now, I'm only giving short verses up here because I'm really throwing a lot of scripture at you today. And it took Larry and I a long time to get all this organized and together. Because there's a lot that happens. And I'm not covering everything that happens on Thursday evening up until Friday morning, but some of the highlights. The Last Supper, and when the hour was come, he sat down and the apostles with him. We call it the Last Supper. This is the last time that Jesus serves the supper to his disciples. Now, one of the neat things in this that we see that is really a little bit confusing to people, but this just goes to show you the heart of Jesus. Before they sat down, Jesus washes what? The feet of the disciples. One of the most humble things you can do to someone, especially in Jesus' day, with the dirt and the mud and the dust and the type of shoes that they had in that day, feet would get filthy. I mean filthy. And to sit and to wash a person's feet was very humbling. Matter of fact, it made the disciples uncomfortable. But he said, this is something I must do, because I am the example that I'm setting before you. This is how you treat other people. Remember, you're not above them, you are with them. One of the real depressing moments, though, finally find out who's going to betray Jesus. Jesus points to him, says, Judas, go and do what you have to do. And Jesus even announced, before he announced to who it was, that someone here was going to betray him. Oh, they all looked at each other. You know that story. Oh, surely it's not me. Surely it's not me. Surely it's not me. But one did. And he took off. All right, Larry, here we go. Again, late Thursday evening, after the Lord's Supper, this is one of the most serious moments you're going to see in the life of Jesus. Look at it with me. Luke 22, verses 41 and 42, the Garden of Gethsemane. And he was parted from them about a stone's cast. And he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, if it be your will, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. I want you to really see the human side here of Jesus. Jesus is getting ready to go through some of the worst pain, and he knows it's coming. He knows it's coming. Some of the worst pain that a person could feel. And he's like, Lord, are you sure this is what you want? but this is what you want. I'm going to do it. I said, your will. Now, let me tell you what this teaches me. Every time I pray about a certain situation, whether I'm praying about somebody sick, needing healing, needing guidance, anything, especially if they come to me and say, will you pray for me? I always try to understand this one thing, even when I come to praying for myself. The last thing that I want is God's will. If that means I die, then it's time for me to go home. If it means I'm not going to be healed, it's not God's will for me to be healed. I don't know how many times that I have prayed for my kidneys, my feet, my heart, everything else. But I always say, Lord, if it's your will, let it be done. If not, I'm going to continue to do what I do for you until you call me home. Because I want, more than I want healing, now I want you to listen to me very closely. More than I want healing, I want God's will in my life. Because eventually I'm going to be healed what? Anyway. That's coming. Huh? Right? Make sense? So even if I have to suffer something here on this earth, that's okay. If that's what he wants. Because I want his will done in my life. And this is what Jesus was praying. Now we all know about this situation. You know, he asked some of his disciples to pray with him. They went to sleep. Now there's a moral in here. Nobody should ever sleep while the preacher's preaching. Isn't there a moral here somewhere? Huh? Right? Now maybe I stretched that just a little bit, but I think I can come to that point somewhere along the line. But hey, I understand. It's Sunday morning. You know, you had to get up. It's your day to sleep. So hey, preacher, I made it. So if I sleep a little bit. You know, it's not because you're not a good preacher. It's because I've heard it before, so what difference does it make? I know how you people are. But hey, these disciples went to sleep, and he said, you couldn't even stay awake for just a few minutes to help me. And what this tells you is this. Jesus is on his own. These disciples are going to run as fast as they can run when it gets to push, come to shove. And Jesus will carry the cross all by him. So, for you and for me. Now, we also know when Judas, although I'm not going to show this on scripture, but just real quick, you all know that when Judas turned Jesus over because Jesus was at the garden coming out and the disciples were all there and he brought the guards there and you know, now Peter at this time he had a little brain. So he takes the sword, cuts the ear off of one of the soldiers. Y'all remember that, don't you? And for the life of me, I have studied this over and over and over and over and over again. Peter finally, for once, is going to stand up for Jesus. And Jesus has to go behind him and straighten it out. Jesus ever had to do that to you? Thinking you're doing the right thing. Cuts the ear off and Jesus just sits up, it's right back home. And it never looks like it was ever cut off. And reckon and said to Peter, that's not the way you do things. You let me fight. Don't worry about it. Peter didn't know. He didn't know what was coming. Thought he was doing the right thing. And later on, he's going to deny he even know who Jesus is. Not once. Not twice. How many times?
Three times.
It's a matter of how quick we can turn on Jesus, isn't it? Isn't it amazing? All right, Larry, here we go. Good Friday. Now, we all know what all happens to get to this point. Jesus goes before many people. They don't know what to do with Jesus. Finally, Pilate says, let's let the crowd decide. Again, here's this wonderful crowd that was praising him on Sunday. Come early Friday morning, he says, here's one of your own, here's Jesus. Who do you want to crucify? And they said, letting the crook, the one who was useless, the one who was no good, they said, bring him down. He says, what about this one? Crucify, 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 crucify. Pilate just washed his hands and said, okay. And then we go through this preparation. And if any of you have ever seen the film, you're talking about just the beating that he took. This crown we put on his head. In the back of my house, I have a tree that we have thorns on it. Mark always trims it up so no little kids. But I always leave some on it up high enough where it could hurt anybody. I bet you them thorns are 2 to 3 inches long. And every time I look at that, and you're talking about sharp, to think that they smashed that crown on his head with those thorns in it. Can you imagine the blood and where it went? And we haven't even got to the nails, but they're going to put it in his feet and in his hands. After he carries his cross, which is going to be agonizing for him to carry this cross. They lay the cross down, put his feet together like this, take this huge nail and just hit and hit until it goes through flesh and bone to nail that to that cross. Stretched his hands out, put it right there in his palms. Bam! Then they're going to raise that cross up and put it in the ground. And can you imagine when that cross, with him on it, what that weighs, goes in that hole, it's going to jar him. All those nails in him. Now, there's your scene. He's laying there on that cross. Blood flowing from his head, blood flowing from his feet and his hands. And he's going to say 7 things in the next 6 hours from the cross. I want you to see what he says and why he says it. 3 are more personal, and 4 are about him. Are you ready to take the journey? Say amen.
Amen.
Here we go, Mary. Number 1, can you believe this? After everything he has gone through, and the pain that he is suffering. And Jesus said, Father, what's it say? Forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. And parting his garments among them, they cast lots. He is in so much pain. What clothes did he have? They're just gambling for him. He says, forgive them. Man, how can somebody, you know, all somebody has to do is look at us cross-eyed, we go off and won't forgive them for 20 years. And you know how it is, don't we? What they're doing to him, when he looks out to the people who have spit on him, cussed him, gambling for his clothes, slapped him around, and he said, forgive them. Forgive them. For that is to have a blue when you die. Give Jesus a hand of applause in the house. All right, Larry. Now this conversation is marvelous. He's in the middle. He's got one on each side. One is just mocking him, mocking him, mocking him. Saying, if you're this Jesus that you're talking about, got all this power, what are you doing on the cross? why don't you get off the cross and then take me off the cross so we can get on back to our lives? But the other one said, Lord, I deserve this. You don't. I deserve it. You don't. And he said, will you remember something for me? Will you remember me when you get to paradise? Remember what he said? Here's the key word. What's it say? Verily I say unto thee, today. What's it say? Today. Say it with me. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Looking and saying, you're going home with me. The difference between the world today, one mocks Jesus, one believes Jesus. That's the world we live in today. It was right there in history. One mocking him, one believing him. You know, we need, the Bible says you need to choose today which side you're on. What side of the cross are you on? Are you on the one that mocks him? Or are you on the one that says, remember me when you get to paradise? You know how he remembers you? Because he writes your name down in the book of life. I'm here to tell you, history at the moment is getting ready to change for eternity. Give the Lord a hand of applause. All right, Larry, here we go. Now, this is one of the most. Jesus' father is gone, as you well know. But his mother. And every time I talk about this, I say the same thing because it's true. The church, and we talked about this in our men's class today, the early church was the caregiver. There was no Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security, food stamps. Wasn't none of that kind of stuff in Jesus' day. The church literally took care of its own people. Jesus looks to the beloved disciple, which is John, and this is why this is so impressive. John chapter 19, verse 26, 27. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother, can you imagine how emotional she was? I mean, can you imagine? And the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from the hour the disciple took her unto his home. He looked at John and he said, John, I want you to take care of mom. Mom, I want you to understand, John is going to take care of you. Before he took his last breath, he made sure his mother was taken care of. I call that a good sign. Huh? What do you think? That's your Jesus. He cares about you. He cares about your family. He knows what it is to take care of family. So when you're praying for your parents and your children and your spouse, Jesus knows what this is all about. Because he is a family man. But he wants to make sure mom was taken care of. It'll get no better than this. Good morning. Alright. Now about the ninth hour. Now, let me say this to you. Larry called me at home and he said, Roger, I'm confused about something. He said, you always say that, you know, Jesus pretty well dies at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. This says the ninth hour. I don't understand what this means. Now, let me explain to you, because believe me, there's a lot of people that don't know this. Jewish, at this time in history, and to some degree, still this way, Jewish time starts at 6 o'clock in the morning. The ninth hour would be what time? 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Right? With me? Take 6 o'clock in the morning, add 9 hours to it, that's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So now we're getting very close to the end. These last statements come almost all together just as he's getting ready to die. At about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? This has probably caused more confusion of why Jesus said this than anything else he says. It really sounds as if, even the way that I read it there, sounds as if Jesus is pretty angry. But you've got to understand something. As holy as God the Father is, listen to me very closely, as holy as God the Father is, he cannot look upon the sin unless he looks through his Son's eyes. At this moment in time in history, Jesus became sin for you and for me. And he took on, the sins of the world in a moment in history. And when he did, God the Father had to turn his back upon his Son. Why he becomes sin for you and me. And God and Jesus knew it. And he knew it in his spirit. And he said, my God, I see now that I have become the sin of the world. Powerful. Powerful. Do you get it? Do you see it? Give the Lord a hand of applause in this house. Now this comes real fast. After this, Jesus, knowing all things, are now finished. That the scripture might be accomplished, saith I thirst. In the Old Testament, it predicts that Jesus, of course, would say this. This shows the human side of Jesus. One of the real things, the only one thing that Miss Alma and all that she was going through and as much pain as she was in last night, because they didn't know if she was going to make it or not, and because of some issues she was dealing with, all they could give her was ice chips. Maxine said, she said, I'll give anything for a drink of water. When you're thirsty, folks, and believe me, as the blood comes out of him, he's thirsty. Now, as a joke, you remember what they did, don't you? Oh, yeah, they gave him something to drink. Remember what it was? Vinegar. Any of you ever tasted vinegar? Lord, mercy. All this goes to show me is this one thing. Jesus was willing to do whatever it took to finish his time on the cross. And believe me, he took a lot for you and for me. Let's look at it, the last two things he says. All right, Larry. Statement number 6, John 19:30. And when Jesus therefore had received the what? The vinegar. He said, it is finished. And he bowed his head, gave up his spirit. Go to the next thing. Just before he said that too, he said, Jesus crying with a loud voice, said, Father, into thy hands. Now, it's different. He became sin. God turned his back. Now, he and God are back one together. Into thy hands, I commend my spirit. And having said this, gave up. Died. You can go to the next screen. Jesus dies at 3 p.m. Now, why do we call this Good Friday? None of this seems good to me when you really look at it. I mean, a man has gone through the worst death that a man can go through, and yet we call this Good Friday. Tell you why we call it Good Friday, because if it hadn't been for the cross, there'd be a lot of lousy signs in our lives. No, understand that? The Good Friday means it's a Good Friday for me. It wasn't a Good Friday for Jesus. But it's a Good Friday for me. It's a Good Friday for you. Good Friday for anybody that's watching this camera that believes in Jesus Christ. Because if it hadn't been for this 6 hours on the cross, there would be no eternity. There had to be a cross before there could be a resurrection. Everybody with me? Say amen. Amen. I want to make sure you understand it. I want to make sure you learn it and you appreciate what this is all about. So when you wake up sometime, maybe not to this crowd, I need to say this, but to those watching on the camera, when you wake up and you're a little too tired to come to church, maybe you ought to think about what Jesus did for 6 hours on this cross. To tell you something, it speaks to me. It speaks to me. Jesus never did anything halfway. When Jesus did something, he did it right. And he went all the way with it. And he did it for you and for me and for anybody that we know that's willing to accept him as Lord and Savior. Give the Lord one more hand. Father, your words are powerful. We cannot imagine the sacrifice that was made on that cross. But Father, we can believe it. We can accept it and understand you loved us enough that by accepting you on the cross, God the Father can forgive us of our sins. Father, I pray for anybody that's watching me by camera or that's in this congregation. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to do it today. The clock is running. Jesus is coming again, and it's going to be soon. Father, watch over this invitation. To those who need a quiet time at the altar, to those who are looking for a good church home, we'd love to have you. Most of all, if you're lost, come and let me have a word with you. Let me have a prayer with you. Let me introduce you to Jesus. Father, bless these moments together. In Jesus' name.